encourage you to be a part of that. Ezekiel chapter number 16. Ezekiel chapter number 16. We're going to start with verse number 4. And I'm going to ask you to stand, if you would, in reverence and respect to the Word of God. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse number 4. If you haven't found it, just open your Bible to anywhere. Look like you know what you're looking at. And we'll enjoy it together. Are you right? There's no bad parts of the Word of God. Ezekiel chapter number 16, verse number 4. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, or swaddled at all. None I pity thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field to a loathing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, thou wast in thine own blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine own blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments, and thy breasts are fashioned, and thy hair has grown, whereas thou wast naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God. And thou becamest mine. Yes. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin. And I girded thy about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thine hands, and chains on thy neck. And I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thou wast decked with gold and silver, and thine raiment was of fine linen, silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil. And thou wast exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into a kingdom. I want to talk to you. Verse 6 is our text verse this morning. Verse 6. Let me read that one more time if I may. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thine own blood, live. I want to talk to you on this subject this morning. When I passed by thee.
Yeah.
When I passed by thee, Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for our pastor. We ask that you bless him and Miss Sherry as they're taking some time away. But Lord, we need you here this morning.
Yes.
We need you to speak to us. We need the power of your Holy Spirit here. We need you to flow from person to person, from heart to heart, and from life to life, and open up our hearts and our life for your glory and your honor, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. Years ago, there was a little boy, and his mama went to church. And the little boy was sitting near the back, and the mama said, we're going to have a visiting preacher today for our pastor. He's going to take his place. He said, well, what's that mean? He says, well, you know, in our house, the back door, we have a broken window there. And we put a little cardboard there to take its place. And the preacher is just taking the preacher's place like that cardboard took the place of the glass. And so the little boy listened to the preacher preach. And he pulled on his mama's side and pulled on his mama's side. And she said, what? She said, Mama, that's not a piece of cardboard there. That's a real pain. So today I'm going to be your real pain, amen? And so I want you to encourage you to listen carefully. I'll talk quickly if you'll listen quickly. And we'll get through. And I believe there's going to be a blessing from heaven if we'll just let God. As you know, Ezekiel was a prophet who spoke to those Israelites who were in bondage in the land of Babylon. For 70 years, God's people were in Babylon as slaves to the Babylonian kingdom. The kingdom which succeeded it. It was a 500-mile journey from the land of Palestine to the land of Cana, where their bondage began. Of course, they didn't get in cars and trucks and buses or planes and get there. They walked that 500 miles by foot. As they were journeying, the Lord gave Ezekiel the prophet the most amazing picture I could ever imagine. God pictured the Israelites as an abandoned baby. Not a baby of a few days or a few weeks, but a baby that had just been born. Maybe only a few hours old. The Bible said the baby was lying beside the road and had not been cared for since it was delivered. The baby had been forsaken completely, as if it didn't exist at all. The parents didn't want her. They left her on the side. They had forsaken her. They had walked away from her. They saw no value in her. There, the little baby was lying helpless, unwanted, beside the road. The umbilical cord had never been cut. It had never been cared for. The Bible said the baby had not been washed and was still covered in the blood of birth. The baby had not been cleaned at all since birth. The Bible said it had not been salted. Now, I know that we don't salt babies here, but in the Eastern countries, folks say in the ancient days, but I'm catching up with those ancient days myself, so I'm not sure that I'm not all that far from those ancient days now. But in the ancient days, and actually they still do it today in some countries, they salt a baby when he's born. They rub a very fine salt on that baby. They actually rub all over its baby. It's something that they believe is a purifying agent. It's almost powder fine. Sometimes they'll mix it with something. They salt that baby, and they believe that protects it in its early days from getting ill. And they have proven that it stopped rashes from forming on babies easily. So it's an interesting thing, even though the ancients did it. That means it's old. God, there's got a little bit of something in there somewhere. And some of the old ways aren't so bad, I guess. But that's what they did. The baby had not been salted. The baby had not one bit of clothing. It was lying naked in the open field. The Bible said it was just an unwanted baby. Dirty, bleeding, naked, forgotten, and forsaken. Can you picture how shocking that would be? You're on a trek with thousands and thousands of people. You're walking. Maybe they were in sandals or barefoot, but they're walking across this barren desert. And the rocks of the wilderness and all through this area, Canaan is going to the land of Babylon. Thousands and tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are walking. And as they're walking, there's this baby laying on the side of the road and no one seems to care. Then walked by Ezekiel. His eyes focused on that little baby. The umbilical cord had still not been cut. It was still an unwashed afterbirth, still unsalted, naked and bloody. Ezekiel stopped and looked at that baby. And being moved with compassion, picked up that baby. Drew that baby to his bosom. Hugged that baby, I believe, kissed it in its dirty condition, then took that little baby and washed it, and salted it, and clothed it, and nurtured it to health. This lay the baby found beside the trail on the way to Babylon really pictures one thing, and that's the condition of natural man. That's condition of man before he comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. The unconverted man. The man, an unconverted man may be the president of a great bank somewhere. But to God, he's still naked and destitute and bloody and unsalted and unclothed in the sight of God. The unconverted man may wear silks and satins, but he's still in the sight of God naked and destitute, filthy, bloody, and unclothed. The unconverted man may be a Hollywood movie star or make millions of dollars acting with their acting prowess or their singing capability, but in the sight of God, he's still naked and bloody and dirty and forsaken. The unconverted man may sit in a Senate chamber, but in the sight of God, he's still naked and dirty and bloody and unwashed and unsalted. The unconverted man may be in the White House, but in the sight of God, he's naked, unsalted, bloody, dirty, and forsaken. The unconverted man may be the king of a nation and may have many servants and live in tremendous mansions, which they call castles. But in the sight of God, he's still naked, bloody, dirty, unsalted, and forsaken. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter our position on this earth.
Right.
It matters not where you work or what your bank account says.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you drove to church in this morning.
Right.
Or what kind of home you'll go back to this afternoon. It doesn't matter if you're white or black or rich or poor or old or young or a child or from America or from Saudi Arabia or from Europe, or it doesn't matter if you're from Africa. It doesn't matter if you're from South America. It doesn't matter who you are. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, if you've never met Jesus, you're bloody and dirty, unsalted and naked, forsaken by everyone. Ezekiel took that little baby and said, that little baby is a picture of me.
Amen.
Before I was saved.
Yes.
That's what I was like before I met Jesus. And by the way, that's how I was before I met Jesus. It's a picture of me. Doug Marco, naked before God. A picture of me, dirty in my sins before God. It's a picture of me, forsaken, unloved, uncared for, bloody, trampled upon, pitched into a corner. That's a picture of me. But then Ezekiel is a picture of my Savior. He says, you may be like that baby, but I've not forsaken you. Jesus says, you may be like that baby and unloved, but I love you. You may be like that baby and filthy in the filth of your sins, but I love you.
Amen.
You may be like that baby and unwashed, but I've washed you in the Lamb's blood. You may be like that baby and trampled upon by everyone else in the world, forsaken, overlooked, uncared for, in an open field, in the field of this world, on the field of this earth. But this morning, ladies and gentlemen, he says, I love you.
Amen.
Maybe you're a person of position or dignity or stature or standing, but if you're not saved, God sees you as naked and filthy and needing a cleaning. Ezekiel says, I like that. None of us are good. No, not one. None of us have a right to criticize the rest of us because we're all the same. Naked and dirty and bloody. And undone.
That's right. That's right.
None of us have the right to be proud, because all of us are naked and dirty and bloody and unkept. Whatever talent you may have, it was given to you by God's grace. Whatever looks you may have, they were given to you by God's grace.
Right.
By the way, I think I'm cute.
Okay.
C-U-T-E, don't you wish you looked like me? I'm cute. M-A-M-A. How you think I got that way? My mama. My mama. But whatever you have, God's given it to you.
Amen.
It's by His grace.
Amen.
You may be the most beautiful person here, or you might be like me, one of those average people, or you might be like others. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi, you ugly. But I know this, Jesus loves you.
Amen. That's it.
Gave Himself for you.
That's it.
And whatever you do have,
right,
whatever skill you may have, whatever goodness you may have, whatever wealth you may have, whatever talent you may have, whatever looks you may have, whatever intelligence you may have, all of that is given to us by His grace.
Yes. Yes.
The honest, simple truth is all of us could picture ourselves like Ezekiel pictured himself as a dirty, unkept, unwanted, filthy, bloody little child, forsaken with nobody who loved him. But thank God Jesus passed our way.
Amen.
I am so thrilled that I am a child of God. I am so excited that He looked at me and He saw me cast over to the corner, worthless, bloody, dirty, stinking, ignored by all, unloved, and unforgiven. And He said, I love you. Hey, I love you. Let me pick you up, you dirty, ugly, filthy, trashy, unloved, uncared for, forsaken, because I love you.
Amen.
And you're valuable to me.
Yes, yes.
Before I was saved, I made a lot of money. I did. I made a lot of money. But can I tell you, I still didn't know anybody loved me. And when you make a lot of money and you're a young person, and I mean, I was young, 2-3 years old. I mean, I was young. You know, just barely in my adult years, making a lot of money. You're not sure anybody likes you anymore. Because, see, you're always the life of the party. You're always the one with the money. You're giving it out to everybody, and you're having you a time. And you say, are they liking me because of my money? Because you don't know.
Right.
And then you take Christ as your Savior, and you know that He loves you, and then you find out they really did like you just for your money. Because now they don't want to have anything to do with you, you religious freak, you.
Right.
You Jesus freak. You use the Bible like a crutch. And yes, I do. Praise God. He keeps me going. I can't go on my own. He gives me strength when I have no strength. He gives me power when I have no power. He gives me, lifts me up when I'm down. And thank God I have a great Savior who loves me.
Amen.
You say, Brother Marco, you get awful loud and awful excited. Well, you should have heard people at the Oklahoma game yesterday.
Right. There you go. That's it.
And they were losing.
Yeah.
They were so loud they couldn't even call the plays on the Ohio State side.
Right.
Thank God they won. Ohio State. Anyway.
Hello, brother.
God loves me even though I'm an Ohio State fan. Can I tell you the real challenge? I'm a Cleveland Browns fan.
That's a challenge.
That's a challenge. They don't even know what it means to win a game. They know how to put on a uniform. But they don't know what to do once the uniform's on. The green stuff, they thought, we'll go out on the carpet. Well, we got green carpet here. We ought to invite them to church because they sure need something to take them up because they're all so far down. And God still loves me, even though I'm a Cleveland Browns fan. I love my Savior. He makes life worth living. He gives me a good time. He picks me up. He strengthens me. He loves me. He cares for me. He's washed me from my sin. And that which was ugly is no longer ugly. And He's changed me.
Yes.
You know what He did? He gave me a new set of clothing.
Amen.
He put bracelets on my arm.
Yeah.
And necklaces around my neck. He put a crown on my head.
Yeah.
He put a right in the smack middle of my forehead. He put jewels and He clothed me and He gave me fine linens. And some of the folks even got weird socks on today.
Yeah.
A couple of them were in the back comparing their socks. I think I won. Just socks, amen.
Amen, bro.
But God even loves the weird sock people.
Yeah.
There's no one that God doesn't love. You can't be so far from Him that He doesn't love you.
Right.
You can't be so naked that He doesn't love you.
Right.
You can't be so bloody that He doesn't love you.
Yeah.
You can't be so full of sin that He doesn't love you. You can't be so full of this world that He doesn't love you. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no one, no place, no way, no how that God does not love. Woo! Thank the Lord that's what.
Amen.
Yes.
Can I tell you a secret? Went to the nursery. Don't tell nobody. It's a secret. God loves you.
Amen.
That's right. God loves you.
Right, right.
Thank God Jesus passed by. Many hundreds of feet passed by that baby that day, but they didn't care. Many eyes passed by, but they didn't see. Many people were concerned about others, but they weren't concerned about the baby. And ladies and gentlemen, God cared about me. You may be the poorest in this room. You may be the ugliest in this room. You may be the least loved in this room, but God loves you today. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how He could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my song and shall ever be. Oh, how marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Never forget it, ladies and gentlemen. Never forget it, no matter where you go or what you're doing, how your day goes, how the week has been, how this past month has been, how this past year has been, or how the weeks to come will be. Jesus loves you. Never forget it. Jesus loves the little children. Never forget it. Jesus loves the teenager. Never forget it. Jesus loves the elderly. Never forget it. Jesus loves the middle age. Never forget it. Don't forget that Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my griefs. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares.
Amen.
God loves you. Don't let it escape you. God loves you. In the middle of the day tomorrow, something's going to happen. And you're going to wonder, does anybody care? Does anybody love me? And the answer is yes.
Amen.
Jesus does. Jesus loves you. If we could, with ink, the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, and were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain that ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Jesus loves you.
Yes, yes.
Jesus loves you. We sang today, I am so glad that Jesus loves me. No, that's not the way you sang. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Because there's been times where I've been unlovable. And there's been times that I've been unfriendly. And there's been times that I've been uncared for. And Jesus loves me. When no one else did. When no one else would. When no one else paid attention. I keep sinking deep in sin. Far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea. He heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Why? Love lifted me.
That's right.
Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me.
Yes, 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 yes.
That's why Jesus loves you. He lifts you when no one else will. God loves you. Ezekiel passed by and saw the baby with this umbilical cord not fixed, with his little body bloody and the liquid fluids of birth and not salted, not clothed. And Ezekiel's heart went out to that little one. Just so the heart of God goes out to everyone in this room today.
Amen.
God wants to make something of you. D.L. Moody tells a story about an atheist. He had a little crowd around him. D.L. Moody was a preacher from the 1800s. A great preacher. Did a great work of God. An evangelist, really. Sunday school teacher. man of God. And he tells this story. This atheist got a little crowd about him, and he was saying that there's no God, no Bible. He disapproved of the existence of God, and in his own satisfaction made light of Jesus and made light of the existence of God himself. Finally, he said these words, quote, "I will prove there is no God. I will prove it. Listen to me," he said. He looked up and said, "Hey, God, hey, if you're there, strike me dead. Go ahead. Strike me dead. I dare you. I double dare you. I triple dare you to strike me dead." Unquote. But of course, God didn't. He looked out at the crowd and the people began to look at him, and he said, "Yeah. Now where is your God? I told him to strike me dead. Why didn't he do it? Where's your God? You say your God can do anything we ask him to do. I asked him to strike me dead and he didn't. Does anybody want to say anything now?" And a man in the crowd that day, very sweet, dedicated, Christian, older man, he walked up to the podium and said, "I'd like to say a few words." He said, "This morning I was walking down the street to come to this place. As I was walking down one of the busiest streets in Chicago," he said, "I walked past an alley." And if you've ever been to Chicago, there are alleys everywhere. "A kid rushed out. He was shorter than I. He had on ragged, dirty, filthy clothes. His hair was long and filthy. He smelled bad. His face was dirty. He was barefooted. And the little kid jumped out, looked up at me and said, 'Hey, mister, how about a fight?'" He said, "I don't want to fight you." "Oh, come on," the kid said. "Let's go a couple rounds. Let's fight." "Are you afraid to fight me?" I said, "Son, I don't want to fight you." "Yeah, you're just scared," said the kid. "Why don't you want to fight me? Come on, put him up, let's fight." Then he said, I looked at the kid and I said, "Son, I don't want to fight you. I'll tell you what I'd like to do though. I'd like to take you down and buy some shoes for your feet. And I'd like to take you to the barber shop and get you your hair washed and cut and combed. I'd like to get some good clothes for you and get you a bath and a nice, warm, comfortable bubble bath and get you washed up and put on those new clothes. And I'd like to hug you and adopt you as my own boy. That's what I'd like to do for you. I don't want to fight with you, son. I'd whip you. I could reach out and knock you down with one blow. I could knock you out with one lick. I don't want to do that. I want to love you and clothe you and feed you and give you what you need." Then he began to cry and he looked at the atheist and he said, "Oh, listen to me, sir. God doesn't want to kill you. He gave his son to die for you on the cross.
Right.
He loves you. He wants to forgive you, not kill you. He wants to put spiritual clothes on you and spiritual shoes on your feet. He wants to bathe you and cleanse you from your sin. Oh, if you just knew how much God loved you. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary."
Yes, yes.
Ezekiel takes that little boy, that little baby girl, I'm sorry, that infant into his arms. And he begins to dream. He dreams of what this baby girl could be. So then he washes her. And he salts her. And he takes that old desert sand off of her. He cuts that little baby's umbilical cord that has not been properly cared for and now properly cares for it. Now she has on nice clothes. Ezekiel holds that cradle and cradles that baby in his arms and begins to dream of all he wants for that little one and for their life. He wants to care for her, anoint her with oils, give her the best food, provide her with the best clothing, put earrings on her ears and bracelets on her arms. He wants to put necklaces around her necks and put a crown upon her head. He holds her and has all these dreams of what the future would hold. He thinks, oh, what if after I do this, she takes the bread I've given her and uses it to entice men? What if I've done all this and she takes the jewelry I've given her and uses it to buy lustful things? And she becomes a wicked whoremonger. Ezekiel looks out at the people and said, that's what God has done for you. He's not worried about what you might do. He's concerned about what you are right now. Some people say, I'll get to heaven. I'm as good as anybody. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's just saying we're all sinners. I've been serving the Lord for 39 years. I'm 60 years old. And you know what I am? I'm simply a saved sinner. Heaven is my home not because I'm good, not because I'm cute, which right. I am, and not because I'm smart, not because I wear a suit, not because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven because Jesus reached down and took that old little baby that nobody else wanted that was full of dirt and blood and
right.
And he
right.
washed me in his own blood.
Right.
And cleansed me and made me his own.
Amen.
That's why I'm going to heaven.
Amen.
That's the honest truth.
Yes, sir.
Well, you say, I'll join the church. Well, you know what? Clipping that umbilical cord wasn't all that maybe needed. It just didn't need a church. You don't just need a church. Church doesn't save you.
Right.
You could be a Baptist from the day you're born till the day you die and go to and split hell wide open because Baptists don't save nobody.
Right. Right.
You could be a Catholic and go to be a Catholic all your life.
Right.
And dying, split hell wide open because the Catholic Church can save no one. You can be a Methodist or a Presbyterian.
Right.
And ladies and gentlemen, split hell wide open because it's not the Methodist, it's not the Presbyterian that can save you. You can be any religion in the world you choose, but religion saves no one.
Amen, brother.
Only Jesus saves.
Only Jesus saves.
For God so loved the world.
Yes.
That's you and me. That he gave his only begotten Son, that's Jesus.
That's right.
That whosoever believeth in him, that's us.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish in hell, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
That's what salvation is.
Amen.
That's salvation. So baptism, church membership doesn't save you. Baptism doesn't save you. You can wash an old naked body, but that ain't going to take you to heaven.
Nope.
When I was just a little baby, my mama brought me in the cradle. No, and when I was just a little, there's an old song in there somewhere. I see the old people laughing. The young people are going, what? Anyway, when I was just a little bit of baby, my mommy and dad took me to the church. And my aunt and my uncle, whom I loved dearly, took me in their hands and they put me over this little bowl and they poured water on my head and put a little oil on my forehead and they washed my sins away. That's baptism for an infant. You know what it did for me? Nothing.
Nothing.
You can get into that tank back behind me. You can crawl in that tank. You can swim around in that tank. You can bob up and down in that tank. You can do a belly flip into that tank.
Right.
Splash everybody.
Right.
But that water doesn't save you.
That's right. That's right.
Only Jesus saved you.
Only
Jesus. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved.
That's right.
Only Jesus can save us.
Amen.
It's His death, His burial, His resurrection.
Amen.
Baptism can't save you. Church membership can't save you. Tithing can't save you. Tithing will help me financially, but amen. Pays the preacher. No. Tithing is the right thing to do and it's a command from God, but it doesn't save anybody.
Right.
You could give all the money you've ever had and give it to God and you'll still split hell wide open because you can't buy your way into heaven.
That's it. That's
Some people say, well, I'm good. I'll go to church every week. I'll give to the poor. I'll give to the tithes. I'll give to missions. I'll be good. I won't swear. I won't use the Lord's name in vain. I won't watch any wicked thing before my eyes. I'll work real hard to get to heaven. But it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what saves us.
That's it.
Works doesn't save us, for all of sin and come short of the glory of God. We all are as rotten as the devil. Mm-hmm. We all deserve to go to hell like the rest of the world does. And to be honestly and truthful, nothing in life that you could do could save you.
Right.
It's not till Jesus passes by
mm-hmm.
that you could be saved.
Mm-hmm.
If you're His child this morning, we ought to be shouting hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God.
Yes.
He loves me.
Yes.
I was a sinner. He took off my old filthy rags. There's a song that says, forgot it now. That's all right. That's what happens when you get old. You get on a train, all of a sudden you forgot to make the exchange. You know, I don't know where I'm going now. Old rag, old robe is new. Does anybody know that song? Anyway, he put on me a new robe. Amen. Took off the old robe and put on the new.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, that's what He's done.
Mm-hmm.
I was a sinner, and He clothed me in His perfect righteousness. If you're not saved this morning, it makes no matter how good you are.
Right.
Or what things you've done.
Right.
Jesus just looks at you and He says, I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to be in heaven today. I want to give you all the glories, the splendor of heaven, and I want to pick you up out of that old filthy sand. And I want to wash that blood off of you, of the filth of the world. And I want to salt you, purify you. I want to clip that old umbilical cord from the world and give you a brand new life.
Amen.
I want to clothe you in robes of righteousness and give you a home with me forever. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of works.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift of God.
Right.
Not of works.
Mm-hmm.
Lest any man should boast.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing you can do to go to heaven. Many times in my life I've spoken to people and they say, well, I'm not ready yet. You know what? I bet you that baby didn't say, I'm not ready yet. Don't pick me up. Don't pick me up, Ezekiel. I'm not ready yet. Not enough people have spit on me yet. Not enough people have walked by me yet.
Mm-hmm.
That baby didn't know what it needed.
Right.
But Ezekiel knew.
Amen.
You don't know what you need. But God knows what you need.
Right.
Well, I'm not ready. Well, what's holding you there? You like that blood? You like having your umbilical cord uncut?
Mm.
No, the truth is that we just don't feel worthy.
Right.
Can I be honest with you? I still don't feel worthy.
Right.
All these years later. I don't know a Christian that feels worthy. I'm glad I'm on my way to heaven, but I don't feel worthy.
Amen, brother.
So if you don't feel worthy this morning, welcome aboard. Because no one else here does either.
Right.
So if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior today, let me encourage you to simply during this invitation to walk forward and take Christ as your Savior. It matters not. God loves you. It matters not where you're from. God loves you. It matters not what you've done. God loves you. But you don't know how much sin I've committed. That's all right. You don't know how much sin I committed either.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how wicked I really was. And I'm not going to tell you how wicked I really was. I already know how wicked I really was. All Jesus wants to do is save you.
Right.
You say, you still wicked? Kinda. At times. But then I turn back and I remember that Jesus loves me.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, brothers.
And Jesus loves you.
Amen.
If you've never received Him as your Savior this morning, may I implore you. May I take Jesus' step. May I step in Jesus' place just for a moment.
Amen.
And may I say, I love you. I don't want you to go to hell. I never made it for you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I want you in heaven with me. You're mine. I love you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care about your past. I love you.
Yes.
Right now.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I have a gift for you. There's three parts of you. There's the giver of the gift and the receiver. God says, I have a gift for you. The gift is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's the giver of the gift. That's the gift. The giver of the gift is Jesus Christ. He's offering it to you. You are the receiver. If you never received that gift, that doesn't mean that gift wasn't offered. It just means you didn't take it. How do you get it yet? Let me show you. Can you stand up for me? Brother, I noticed your breath was a little bad this morning. So I got a gift for you of a mint. Can I give it to you? What do you got to do to get it? You got to pay for it?
Okay.
You got $1.95?
No.
I always wanted to make a profit. All right. Well, that isn't it. Let's see, it's all wrapped for you. Individually cared for, just for you. Here, I want to give it to you. What do you got to do to get it?
You got to receive it.
Just take it. He didn't work for it. He wasn't good enough for it. He maybe needed it. But you know what he did? He took it.
Amen.
Amen.
That's all he had to do.
Amen, brother.
Let's take it. Now it's yours. It's all yours. Yeah. Use it for God's glory, brother. I'm just saying that Jesus loved you this morning.
Amen.
If you've never taken that gift, it's time just to simply receive it.
Amen. Amen.
Everybody needs it.
Yes, sir.
And if you don't have it, you need it.
You gotta come to you.
Let me say one more thing and then I'm done.
Okay.
Maybe you have a lost family member, a brother, a sister, a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, a grandma, grandpa, your aunt, maybe your uncle, maybe a niece, maybe a nephew, maybe a child, maybe your grandchild, maybe your best friend. And they don't know Christ as Savior. You know what you need to do for them? Pray that God would convince and convict them
right.
of their need to be saved.
Right.
So in just a moment, we're going to give an invitation.
Mm-hmm.
If you already know Christ as your Savior, praise the Lord, glory
Amen.
To God. But if you know somebody in your family or your friendship or your inner circle that doesn't know Him as Savior, you need to come to this altar and ask God to convince them and convict them of their need to be saved. Because I can't do it and neither can you.
Right.
And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I don't want you to go to hell.
Mm-hmm.
If I could, I'd take your place.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to go there. And Jesus doesn't want you to go there. So I want to ask you, if you'd come, let me show you how you could have God's personal promise that no matter what happened the rest of your life, you would go straight to heaven no matter what. Let me show you that promise. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today. I thank you for the illustration that you gave Ezekiel way back there as Israel traveled those over 500 miles from their nation to captivity. And in that was a beautiful picture of what you've done for us. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you do what I cannot do. And